Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. That was energetic.
Wow, I didn't expect that to come out of my mouth either. Holy smokes, wow. Well, that was a different intro than usual.
How's it going?
I guess it's going very energetically, although it's not. No, it's going good. Got back from work today since we're not recording over the weekend. So I did work and you did work and just got back and here we are.
Indeed.
How about you? How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Like you said, I just worked today. Nothing super fantastical has happened since our last recording, although this is our first episode since we came to Colorado.
Yeah,
so I guess we could tell everyone about that. I mean, we talked a little bit during that episode, but we did some more stuff after we recorded. So
that's true. It's true. Yeah. So how'd you guys like being in Colorado for a little bit?
It was nice. I think it definitely was. Like, I'm glad that it was such nice weather, but also I was like kind of excited for a little bit of snow because we haven't had any snow here yet. But
yeah, I think literally like after you guys left, maybe a day or two later it snowed.
But that's all right, because it was like, it was nice to be able to just like walk, and like we wouldn't have been able to scooter if it was snowing,
because
it would have been all icy and stuff. So
that's true.
I'm glad that the weather was what it was.
That's true.
And I went on that nice beautiful hike.
Yeah, beautiful hike. Then we had some beers, and we did talk about the scootering because that was that night that we recorded, I believe, right?
Was it? I honestly don't remember.
I don't either. It was.
All right.
Wait, was it?
No, it wasn't. Wait, was it? I think it was, actually. You're right. Because we scootered, we went to the dispensary, and then we went home and recorded.
Yes, that's right. I don't think we ever told anyone how we recorded that, did we?
I don't know.
Do you think we should or just not?
Well, I'm sure they can
figure that out.
Yeah.
You can read between the lines. You're a very skilled individual, and well, then you know. And if not, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of skilled individuals.
There we go. Good transition.
So today we are going to be talking about the 2022 movie Prey. It was directed by Dan Trachtenberg and stars Amber Midthunder and Dakota Beavers. And it was released directly onto Hulu, so we actually don't have any box office numbers because you don't have to pay for it. You just need a Hulu subscription.
Which is kind of crazy to me. Like, how did they strike that deal and not put that movie in theaters?
I don't know. It definitely feels like a theatrical movie.
It does. It really does. Which is why I'm like, well, that's kind of a loss, in my opinion.
So, Luca, what did you think about Prey?
I thought Prey was a great watch. I think I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. Maybe there was like a depth that was missing for me.
Okay.
But I think overall, it was a very entertaining watch, and it wasn't too long. I think an hour 40 minutes is what the movie runs. I think that is like the perfect time for me to like sit down, enjoy this movie, and just, you know, keep going afterwards.
Yeah, it's pretty succinct. It feels well paced. Things kind of like, I felt there wasn't really any time where I felt like it was dragging. But it also like, it took its time enough that it didn't feel rushed either.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree. Whenever the movie starts, it already, I feel like, started in that pace that it kept throughout the whole thing. I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, I don't think it ever slowed down, and I also don't think it ever sped up way too fast to where you're like, well, what? But yeah, I mean, I don't think this is giving too much away. Basically, this movie is a Predator franchise,
yep.
Which I found out maybe 10 minutes into the movie. I was like,
have
wait
you
a
seen
minute.
Any of the other Predator movies?
I've seen all of them, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Back when I watched those, I mean, I think Predator is such a great movie, and they always have been.
Yeah.
So I was very excited whenever I noticed, like, oh my god, this is fucking Predator, like, interesting. And it takes place around 300 years ago.
It's like early 1700s.
Yeah, it was like 1719 in the Northern Great Plains.
Yeah.
And
I really like the first Predator movie, and I liked Predators, the one with all the prisoners on the other planet.
Yes, yes.
I don't think I ever saw Predator 2. I watched both of the Alien versus Predator movies, and those were all right.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the newest one, which I believe is called The Predator, because I heard it was
pretty good.
I heard it was dog shit.
Really? Maybe I don't remember it then, but I don't know.
Apparently there's like a part of that Predator movie is like they discover, or like some one of the aliens tells them or something, that like autism is like the next step forward in human evolution or something like that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It's some weird shit.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I just don't remember it then. But either way, I feel like, okay, obviously the OG Predators were amazing.
Yeah.
And I think this one, like, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. What did you think?
Yeah, I also really liked this one. I would say it's a top tier Predator film. I think it definitely has a different sort of like it's very similar, I guess, to the first one, but in a like a very different sort of way, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the first one is very much sort of a like, I guess, kind of a commentary on like, well, I don't know what, I guess it would have been what, like the Vietnam War or something like that, or
when,
because there, when, so when the first Predator movie came out, because in that one, there's like all these big, like muscly army guys, and they're like going into the jungle to fight off a bunch of like people.
Yeah.
And then it's like sort of like the, I guess, unexpected dangers of the jungle, but like instead of that just being like rebels or like people that live in the jungle fighting back, it's an alien.
Right, right. Yeah, so Predator 1 was set in 1987 as a and there's like a mercenary squad, which is the guys that you were talking about, led by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
In the Central American jungle. To rescue prisoners presumably captured by insurgents, but then they soon realize that, oh, nope, not insurgents.
But yeah, so I think that this follows a similar sort of, like, story pattern. Like, it's like the characters are doing one thing, and then something is weird, and then they discover that it's an alien, and then they have to, like, figure out how to defeat it, but it's different.
it is different. Yeah, if you haven't watched it, since we're not, you know, in the spoiler section yet, I highly recommend you go to Hulu, and even if it's like just a trial subscription thing, watch it. It's a very, very entertaining movie.
But like a lot of the other Predator movies can sometimes get into more of like a, like, I guess, more of a horror kind of a story beat thing, where it's like you have a big group of people and they're each getting like killed off one by one, and there's like all these like gruesome deaths. But this one and the first Predator movie are like not like that. It's very much sort of this journey of the main character, and like, yes, people do still die, and there are some pretty awesome kills in this movie, but it's not focused on them as much as the journey of the protagonist.
I agree.
But anyway, that's enough rambling out of me. I think we should step into the boxing ring.
Let's do this.
Why don't you go first this time?
I should go first this time?
Yeah.
But I don't want to. Just kidding. All right. Let's see y'all. Let me get my brain sorted out what happened in this movie again. Let's see here. A young skilled Comanche warrior named Naru lives with her tribe along the northern Great Plains, where she is trying to make her place as a warrior of the tribe. However, there is a danger lurking in and around the their plains, from which she has to use her skills and willpower to beat. I think that's it. That's all I got. All
right. I'll say a young Comanche woman named Naru Well, hold on, back up. I'll say in 300 years ago, a young Comanche woman named Naru is trying to prove herself as a warrior. But when she discovers strange tracks in the woods, they lead her to discover a far greater danger, and she must I'll leave it there. She discovers far greater danger.
Okay. All right, let's read the real thing.
This says, on the Great Plains in 1719, Naru, a fierce and highly skilled Comanche warrior, sets out to protect her people when an unknown danger threatens them. But the prey she's stalking turns out to be a highly evolved alien predator with a technically advanced arsenal.
Okay. Well, neither of us said alien or arsenal or highly advanced.
Yeah. You did mention the Great Plains.
I did do that.
But I don't think you mentioned a time period. Did you?
I don't remember. I know I said, did I say 300 years ago? I know I said Comanches. I said Northern Great Plains. I didn't say 1719.
I said 300 years ago, but I didn't say 1719 specifically.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you mentioned the time at all.
I don't know. I don't remember. I might have to
listen back to that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I did. I might have left it out just because, I don't know.
The prey she's stalking. I guess we didn't really talk about that either. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think you get this one because I said she's trying to prove herself as a warrior, but you specifically said that she already was a Comanche warrior, and it says that here as well. And then you also got the Great Plains thing. So I'm going to say you on that one.
Okay. Even if I didn't say a time, because I don't remember.
Yeah.
I guess then it's 2-1.
Yeah.
Everything else was the same. Okay. I'll take it. I can't believe none of us like mentioned alien, but I feel like that was giving too much away almost.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not a secret that it's a predator movie.
Sure, but like saying that he's highly advanced and stuff like that gave a lot away.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the surprising things for me of what happened in the movie, but we're not in the spoiler part yet, which we will be here soon. Yeah.
Well, before we get into those spoilers, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And then we'll come back and do that.
Break time.
All right, you want to give us that nasty little spoiler review?
All right, let me ask my buddy.
Hey, man, you ready?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay, dude. Well, can you let them know that spoilers are starting?
Yeah, sure, okay.
All right, thanks, bro.
This is the spoiler section. If you don't want this movie prayed to be spoiled, don't listen.
Thanks, bro.
I can't believe you.
Welcome.
Hey, man, he's a friendly guy. He comes in here and doesn't want.
Yeah, totally.
Alrighty, well, now we can spoil everything. So, where should we begin?
Let's see. First, I'm going to bump my mic a little bit. So, I guess overall, I would just like to, this isn't like spoilery. I could have said this earlier, but the score in this movie was really good.
So good.
One moment in particular that I thought was really nice is when, like, the scene where she sets off to start looking for the predator, and you see the shots of her, like, first of all, she wakes up, and then you see all of the other ladies of the village going off to gather the flowers and roots and all that stuff,
bro,
and she's walking the opposite direction.
I wrote and that then... Yep. I said her walking the opposite direction of all the women dash cinematography.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you see it like just like five different shots of her just like walking, and she's like walking through the forest, and then she's walking like on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's just gorgeous shots, and the music is beautiful, and that's just a great scene, I think.
Wow. Yes, dude. Literally, well, I'm glad that you noticed that as well. I said the music and audio effects like really bring it home.
Yeah.
It like draws you in. The shots that they took, the depth of the music, even, because it's not just like, oh, like this is good music. No, like the music had a certain depth to it.
Yeah,
which when you listen to it, it really matches how you feel like she is feeling.
100%.
But also, you know, since we talked about that part, she is walking around, because basically the whole thing of this, the whole like runaround of this movie is her tribe thinks that there is a mountain lion. Well, they know that there's a mountain lion out there. And they're out hunting for it, basically.
Right, because it attacked one of the other people in the tribe.
Right, right. And so they want that payback, that good payback. And they go out, and she's the only one, basically two-thirds of the movie long, that knows or believes that there is something else out there. She doesn't exactly know what until maybe midway through the movie. But
because while they're hunting the lion, she like sees some like super huge footprints, and they're like, oh, it's probably just a bear. And she's like, I don't know, this would be a really large bear. And then there's also like a skinned snake. And then she just like, she keeps seeing weird stuff, and she's like, something's not right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, she took like a stick and like measured it, and it was maybe 2 feet long, a foot and a half.
Yeah.
A big ass foot.
And then, also, while she is like out practicing her hatchet skills, her dog gets caught in a bear trap, and
with its tail.
Right, with its tail. And I'm not sure because she obviously doesn't know about the fur trappers either. And so maybe she like assumed that the bear trap was also from the alien, but obviously later she would have figured it out when she ran into the trappers. But
no, I think they all knew already about the white people.
You think so?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because
she seemed like super like confused when she rolls up on all the dead bison, and then she sees the cigar, like she acted like she had never seen it before.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. In my opinion, there's no way that these hunters didn't know of these white people, especially because she had already seen that trap earlier in the movie because of her dog.
Well, yeah, but when she saw the trap, she also like was inspecting it and like staring at it and hitting it with a rock.
Right.
Like it seemed like all of that stuff was brand new. Like maybe those French guys like just moved to that area.
Maybe. I forget exactly why. I think that they already knew that the Frenchmen were there, but at one point in the movie, I don't remember what they said, but I'm pretty sure that they know that there's a danger out beyond their like their border. But I don't exactly remember like what that was. But I totally agree with you. I mean, quite honestly, that buffalo skinning thing, I was taken totally aback when it turned out to be the Frenchmen.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is because the buffalo were just like so perfectly spaced apart.
Right.
In that field.
Yeah, that did seem a little weird because I don't know. Okay. Well, first of all, it's not that big of a deal, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that those are bison, not buffalo.
Bison. Yeah.
Although she says buffalo in the movie, but that is technically incorrect.
Wait, why is that technically incorrect?
Buffalo is a different animal. People call
bigger.
American bison buffalo, but buffalo are only. Buffalo only exist in Africa and Asia. The creatures we have here in America are bison.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Like at first I was like, where even are the Northern Great Plains? Like what? Because when they said lion, I thought they meant like.
I would assume that would have been like, you know, it's like the middle of America from like Louisiana up to like almost up to Canada. It would be the section that was the Louisiana Purchase, because that's the part of America that France owned at that time.
Okay, I got you. Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because like I mean at that point when I was watching the movie and they were like, oh yeah, like there's lions, I didn't know exactly if it was a mountain lion or if it was like a lion. And then I was like, well, are lions even indigenous to the Great Plains? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I also was a little confused because I was like, dude, are there lions in America? But then I realized that they were talking about a mountain lion. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That had me confused too. I was waiting
to
see this thing.
I did, apparently it's like long extinct now, but there actually used to be a different, like a proper American lion as well.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. They didn't look like African lions, but there was a different species of large cat that used to live in America.
And we killed it off, huh?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, props.
Things go extinct for lots of different reasons. It might have even been before humans were in this area.
Yeah, it's probably also, yeah, man, who knows. But I will also say that when we are introduced to this mountain lion, the way that the lion, because they were hunting it and she went along and then they were hiding up in a tree, yeah, and there was a guy with her that was like bad mouthing her the whole time.
Yeah.
And when that mountain lion snatched that guy from the tree, bro, that was like unbelievably fast. Like,
for sure.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can like take that as reality or if that's like they just wanted to elevate that scene.
I don't know. It's maybe not super realistic. That didn't bother me so much. I will say, though, going back to the bison, I did find it kind of weird that, like, obviously I know they're fur trappers, so they're like primarily there for the fur, but I don't buy that they wouldn't have also taken all that meat. Like,
right. I mean, although I guess one of those bison would have lasted them a year or two.
But still, they could have salted it. Like, there are ways to preserve meat instead of just letting it sit out in the field and rot.
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I also think it's weird that, like I said earlier, the bison were all up in like a row, basically, all across the field. Like, they were just too ordered.
Well, I guess it would have been like if they were like in a group like grazing and then the French like surrounded them and just shot all of them at once, then they wouldn't have had a chance to run away.
Well, yeah, but then they would have been like huddled in a group, you know, which would make sense. But they were spread across the field and like it almost looked too orderly for me.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't remember exactly what pattern they were in, but I guess I didn't notice any order to it. Another thing I will say is I really like that, because in like the first 10 minutes, they're very efficient with getting you to understand Naru's like motivations, because even before she speaks, well, because there's like the little bit that she like says a few sentences at the beginning and it's a black screen, but if you don't count that, like before you see her speak on screen, you already understand like she is part of this tribe. She gets up every morning and they go out and gather a bunch of stuff. But then you see like she runs off into the forest with her dog and is practicing like throwing her hatchet at the trees. And so even like you don't need it explained to you, like you can see through her actions that like she is a gatherer, but she wants to be a hunter.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's kind of like the thing throughout the whole movie. And yeah, adding on to that, at the very end of the movie, I'm sorry that we're like, you know, jumping all over the place, but it'll like make sense once you listen to the whole podcast. At the end of the movie, adding on to what you just said, it almost felt like the whole plot of the movie wasn't to kill this alien. It was just for her to get that staff and be taken up as a warrior.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that sat with me. That's like one of the things throughout this whole film that I just don't know if I understood, and I don't know if I agreed with it, just because I wanted it to be lesser about like her earning her, you know, warrior status, but like I wanted it to be her earning her warrior status, but I didn't want her to be like that hyper focused on it, which is how they portrayed her to be.
Well, I think after a certain point, it was like it was a mixture of like her needing to prove herself and also needing to protect her people, because she even says that like at the end when she does come back, she's like, there are a lot of new dangerous things out there and we need to move to a place that's easier to defend.
You're right.
Sort of a thing. And so I think like, and that's another thing that like makes me think that maybe they didn't know about the Europeans before, because I feel like her like going out on this journey to prove herself as a hunter, and then she discovers this crazy powerful alien and this whole group of French people with guns that she has no idea about, and she's like, okay, this area is obviously too dangerous now, we need to go somewhere else.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I don't know, it is weird to me that because we see twice earlier after her brother Tabe, after he kills the lion because she gets knocked out, he comes back with the dead lion, and then he gets like promoted to war chief.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Wasape, I think is his name, the guy with the like red feathers on his head.
Right.
You can see there's a little shot where he like, you can tell that he's jealous because he wanted to be war chief. But I don't know. It seemed like, I guess maybe they don't hunt that many lions, but it seemed, I guess I'm not really sure what the requirements are for you to like do something impressive enough to become war chief.
Like did that promote him to war chief or just like one of the top warriors?
Well, no, because right after that scene, Naru's trying to convince him to go back out to look for the predator, and he's like, you can't go out there. And she's like, oh, do I need your permission, war chief?
Oh yeah, she did say that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So yeah. I think that's what that big staff thing is like, if you get the staff, you're war chief.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, a lion is a pretty big feat to kill just with bow and arrow and all that jazz. But I mean, he did say that she basically weakened him for him.
Yeah. And I rewatched it again and you can see it's like very quick. Yeah. When she falls off of the tree, like last second, she does manage to stick her spear into the lion.
Right. And at the time, like I had thought that she had actually killed the lion. Right. But that and her brother then took the glory for it.
Oh, yeah. I never even thought about that.
That's kind of where my head was at, because when she had fallen, I saw that she threw the spear sideways, and then they made sure that we knew that she hit her head.
Yeah.
And then when she woke
gets
up
knocked
again,
out twice in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't have whatever Hulu Premium or whatever their like super expensive stuff is. So I had commercials when I was watching, and I will say I was very, I mean, obviously I'm not happy with commercials, but I think they placed them at a good time, because there was only two commercial breaks and both of them were when she gets knocked out.
I didn't even notice that. Good point. Yeah. But anyway, when she was knocked out and she woke up again in the teepee,
yeah.
In my mind, I was like, even if she hurt the cat, right?
Yeah.
That lion is not going to just run away.
Right.
In my mind, I was like, it's going to come even if it's hurt and like fucking finish her off, because that's what predators do. Like they fight to the death usually.
I mean, we don't know how bad she stabbed it, or also maybe like, I guess Tabe could have done something to scare it off and then like quickly gotten her back to the village and then gone out again.
Right. I mean, but those are the reasons why I thought that she had actually killed it, and then he just carried her body back, went back and then took the cat, and then he claimed it for himself, because we also never exactly found out how he killed the cat.
That's true. I feel like I never doubted him, because and it, like it would have been so easy, and I feel like that's such a like stereotypical like older brother in a movie to like be a douche, but Tabe is like constantly sticking up for her.
That's
and
true.
Like when she goes out on the hunt, he's like, no, she should stay with us, because when we find our friend, she'll know how to heal him. And then later when they're going after the lion, he's like, no, let's do her plan and put out the bait, even though the other guy said that baiting it was a bad idea. And like, he's a really good older brother.
No, I agree with you. He's actually genuine for a dude.
Yeah.
Even as a brother, I mean, you know. Okay, so while they were having all of those issues going on the other hand, there's the alien, which we find out because, well, it keeps eating, or I don't know exactly what it's doing with the animals. Like the first thing that we see is
ripping
like,
out their spines.
Yeah. So that's my question. Why is he ripping out the spines of the animals?
Trophies.
Is it literally trophies? But what does he do with them? Like I never saw.
Well, because you see with the wolf skull, he like sprays that weird shit on it to make all the skin dissolve. And then he like just hangs the skull on his belt.
Right. But I never saw
predators are just trophy hunters.
But I never saw the spine, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he doesn't need to rip the spine out. Maybe that's just like he wants to be a badass, like, yeah, fuck you. And then later he just takes the skull off of the spine and doesn't care about the spine.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he definitely did not rip. He also didn't do anything with the bear, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he like drank its blood, but
he poured the blood all over himself. But then I guess that's all we see, because she like, you know, flees down the river.
Yeah.
But okay, so you just brought up a good point. You trophy hunters, do you think that the predator was dropped off on planet Earth to just hunt some game?
Yeah, that's like pretty much all they do in like throughout the whole series. Like they're, I mean, obviously like on their home planet, we never really find out. Like there probably are like, I would assume that there are predator like bankers and people who work at like Predator Walmart.
Hello,
but, But most of the, like, all of the predators that we see in any of the movies, like, all they want to do is find whatever the most badass thing that they can and then kill it.
Right, right, right.
Just to prove that they're better.
Yeah, and it obviously wasn't the first time that they were on Earth, because at one point she had said that she saw the predator, and she said it looked just like this, blah, blah, blah. She said some type of name. And then the guys were like, haha, like, you believe in a children's fairy tale?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I'd have to, I also have no idea what words she said, because I didn't have subtitles on. But I don't know. I didn't, because I'm pretty sure, like, in all of the promotional material for the movie, they, like, made it clear that this was supposed to be the first time that a predator has gone to Earth.
Oh, that's weird. They definitely made it seem like, because of that one scene, that it had been there before, because she knew exactly how to explain it. And then the other guys that were in the tribe, like, knew exactly what she was talking about and kind of laughed.
Yeah, I don't know. That is weird for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you can see the predator, like, slowly work its way up. Like, it kills the snake, and then it kills a wolf, and then it kills a bear, and then it starts killing people.
Yeah. And the way it kills the people. Yeah. Fucking
what was
legendary.
Your favorite kill?
Say what?
What was your favorite kill?
Oh my god. My favorite kill was when those white guys were trying to trap it. I guess we can talk about that scene real quick, because before we
out
skip
in
over
the, like, burnt out forest.
Yeah, in the burnt out forest. So Naru, which is the young Comanche warrior, she's out there, and she gets basically holed up by her brothers, or her tribe, and they said, no, we're going back home. And she didn't want to. She was fighting them, and then it was three of them, and they wanted to, like, drag her back, basically. But then they ran into none other than the predator.
That was before she gets captured, even.
Yeah, that was before she was captured. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like roaming the tribes, and then they found her because they were tracking her. They said, we're going home. She didn't want to. That's when they, like, started breaking out in a fight between each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they ran into the predator, and that's when the first time that her tribesmen actually saw the predator.
Yeah.
The predator fucked them up big time. And
the one guy actually saw it even before them, because he was out taking a shit in the woods, and I guess managed to hide before it killed him.
Yeah.
I just
thought
that was funny.
And then she kind of, like, runs away, and she meets another one of them in the field.
Yeah.
And he dies too. And somehow she runs away again. I forget exactly how she escapes the field. Oh, no,
because
she doesn't.
The predator takes a long time, like, ripping the first dude up. And so while he's killing that guy, she gets, more distance between them.
Right.
And then as he's catching up, she gets caught in the bear trap.
Right.
And then the predator is like, oh, this is weird. And then as he is inspecting the bear trap, that's when the fur trappers come up, and he just turns invisible and leaves.
Right, right. So apparently the predator only likes attacking things and killing things that are a threat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So she wasn't a threat anymore, and then the white people were there. And although, like, it's weird that he didn't kill the white people because they had guns.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I don't know why he wouldn't, like, oh, well, these people are a threat, I'll just kill them.
Right, right. But he doesn't. Maybe he just, like, wanted to stalk them a little bit more, so he knows, like, where their camp is or something.
Because we see that earlier with the wolf and the rabbit as well, where he kind of just, like, sits back and watches for a while, because he didn't attack the wolf until it started chasing the rabbit.
Right, right.
So I guess he just, like, wants to see kind of what's going on.
Right. Maybe he's, like, learning attack moves while watching them. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But
I also, like, did you notice that, like, all of the predator weapons, like, he doesn't use his weapons until, like, a similar weapon is used on him.
That's exactly why it said, well, everything except for, like, those little grenade thingies.
Yeah, okay, those are different, but, like, he has his two little, like, claw things that he uses on the snake, which are, like, obviously very similar to, like,
snake fangs.
And then, like, later when the fur trappers catch him in the net, then he has his little net thing, which I think that's probably my favorite kill.
Oh my god.
The, like, disintegration net. That thing was wild.
Dude, it, like, was it a disintegration? I don't think it was.
It cut all the way through.
Yeah. It retract. So he, like, threw the net, and then the exterior parts of the net, like, went into, like, this machine that retracts the net, and yeah. they basically like mint like a meat mincer
right.
minced the person that was trapped in the net.
But it looked like some sort of acid on it or something, because
it just cut through so smoothly.
Yeah, it cuts through so smoothly, and even like the log that the guy was on like just got turned into like particles.
True, yeah. Yeah, I mean it was something was with that net. I mean,
yeah.
that dude got fucking destroyed.
And then later when actually earlier the fight with the three guys in the forest before, when they start swinging their spear, that's when he pulls out his spear
right
thing. And yeah, so I thought it was interesting that he like always responded with a similar weapon.
Maybe because he thought it was like more of an even fight, like more fun.
I think so. That's how I took it.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But so she gets caught in that trap, and then the white dudes knock her out, drag her to the camp. And
ooh,
then
although,
they use... Say what?
Sorry, I will say, probably if I had to pick like a runner-up, I also thought it was really cool when he just like picks up that bear trap and throws it at the dude's face.
Oh my god, yeah, that was a good one. It like chopped the head off of that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily, none of those are my favorite one yet. So stop mentioning them, okay? Thanks.
<I'm> sorry.
I was like, is this the one? Okay, it's not. We're good.
Eventually, I'll ruin your fun.
God. Please don't. No, so then the white dudes are relatively smart, and they use her and her brother, whom they also captured, as live bait.
Yeah.
But while they basically, this is where that tree scene comes. While they're tied up to those trees, she's like the smarter one, I guess, out of the tribe. And he kind of like tells her that too. He's like, you always figure out things that I can't do. And
yeah.
she then figures out like, oh my God, like it only attacks and kills things that are a threat. So she kind of
really
already knew
liked
that, they were
that
fine.
About her. Like she's not really, I mean, she is a good fighter, but like she's not the kind of person who wins because she's like stronger or faster. She is just like, she's a very quick learner. And so she just understands how to win a fight better.
Yeah. Brain over bronze in her case.
Right. Yeah.
But basically when the white people are there, the alien knows that all of them are threats. So like Kamen was just saying earlier, he just destroys them all in like very different ways, which is so fun. But no, my favorite was when he like went down into like those trees and he pinned up one of them against the tree. And then he like looked down at his arm. He like pressed the button and his shield came out and it like cut the dude's head off.
I had a
shield.
Feeling that was going to be your favorite.
Dude, that was my favorite. That one was fucking solid. I was like,
that one
holy
was really cool.
Shit.
And you see that. And again, going back to Naru being a quick learner, she immediately like, I don't know how she saw that, because it didn't seem to me like that was like in the same area that she was. But I guess she saw him do that, because later he grabs her by the neck and she immediately like backs up in between two rocks.
Genius.
So that when he tries to do the shield thing, it gets stuck and he can't do it to her.
Yeah. And then how does she get out of that again? It happened so quickly. I totally forget.
I don't know.
She
actually.
Like did something and then slid underneath the shield, but it doesn't matter, bro. That whole scene was phenomenal. Highly recommend watching the movie even just for that scene. But then also, of course, the scene where she, you know, actually finishes it off and kills it.
Yeah. And there's also I guess one thing that I thought was a little silly, well, not, I don't know, but so there's a scene where she like falls into some quicksand or like some like really like wet mud.
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of a fun scene, because it's like kind of a callback, and like they kind of set it up where you think that like she's gonna fight the alien at this point, because in that like that's what happens in the first Predator movie, is Dutch, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, he also figures out that the thing has heat vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so he covers himself in mud to cool down his body temperature so that the Predator can't see him. And so when she gets covered in mud, they like kind of set it up where you're like, oh shit, it's gonna like turn into that sort of a thing. And you even, it like cuts back and forth between her in the mud and the Predator like sees the little leaf on the bison and then finds her footprints. And you're like, they're gonna meet each other. And then she gets out of the mud and just like washes off. And they're like, oh, okay. It wasn't. That's not where the fight's happening.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. She's just fighting the dirt.
So I thought that was cool, but I will say I think it was kind of dumb of her to like just keep going forward. Like, I feel like if it were me and I was just like walking and then fell into a big mud pit, like your first reaction should be turn around and go out the way you came, not try and like fight forward through the mud. Yeah. Because you know that the stuff behind you is solid, but you don't know if it's solid in front of you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that whole scene was just...
I just think she should have turned around.
No, I'm right there with you. And the fact that they elongated her throwing that little axe into that same tree 4, 5, 6 times, and the very last time that she could possibly throw it, she like got it.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like everyone knows that she's going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really like... I won't say she's never in danger, because like she definitely, like there are moments where she could have died, but it's not that kind of movie. So I think when you like look at it as a movie, you're like, she's probably not going to die in this movie.
Right. Exactly. I mean, if she would have, that would have been a total twist, and yeah. Wow, that would have been way different. I mean,
keep going.
No, keep going. You're good.
I was just going to say, I also noticed when she found the bear, because right after that scene, after she washes off all of the mud, she washes off of herself and her weapons and all that, and then she goes to, and she sees the bear, and when she tries to shoot it, her string slips off of her bow.
Yes.
And I noticed, because earlier when they were trying to shoot the hawk, her brother was telling a story about how, me and dad were out hunting and we had to go through some water and my bowstring got all wet, and she like wasn't listening to him. And she's like, oh, don't get your bowstring wet. But then when she washed the mud off of her bow, she got her bowstring wet. And then the next scene, it slips off, and they're like, oh, maybe you should have listened to your brother.
Yeah, true. Wait, but wasn't she the one that said that?
What do you mean?
She's the one that said that to her brother, because he shot the bird down and he had to go swim for it.
Yeah, but she said it in like a joking sort of way, because he was telling a story about getting his bow wet.
Oh, okay. I see. Damn. Well, she messed that one up.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't know. I know whenever we're watching movies, Elena like cannot handle not knowing what people are saying. And I will say, most of the time I'm wrong about... Hold on. Hello there.
You're recording the podcast?
Yes. I told you I was going to.
Can I use some?
Yes. Are you recording? Elena's got her phone pointed at me.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm going to give you your early Christmas present.
You're going to give me a Christmas present right now?
What? Hell yeah. Let's go.
Close your eyes.
It's a dick in a box.
Hold on, wait. Two hands.
Two hands.
Gentle. Very gentle. Open your eyes.
What the fuck? Where the fuck did you get this from?
Christmas.
Elena got me a fucking snake.
What?
Luke, I have a snake.
I know. Send me a picture.
Okay. I'm going to finish recording now.
Put it back in this container.
That is adorable. I love it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Get out of here.
That's how you expected to be under my jacket,
was
it?
No, not at all.
I was like, I saw your recording, I was like, yeah, it was.
Okay. What the fuck were we even talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay. So, wow. Sorry.
No, you good.
I was saying, usually when we watch movies that have multiple languages, because I don't usually watch a movie with this. I don't usually watch movies with subtitles unless I have to, because I feel like when movies have subtitles on, then I get distracted and I'm just like reading the whole time instead of actually looking at what's happening.
I'm with you. I get that. Yeah.
But there have been a couple of times where like sometimes a scene will go on a little too long. And if I'm watching with Elena, she'll be like, wait a second, why can't we understand them? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just watching. And then we'll like, she'll make me rewind and put on the subtitles. And like 90% of the time, the subtitles will translate what they're saying. And I'm like, okay, so we should have had subtitles on then. But in this one,
I was about to say, I thought you meant like this movie. I was like, wait.
No. But in this one, I'm pretty sure the subtitles don't even translate all the French.
No, they don't work.
I'm kind of into it, though.
You like that? Bro, I was so fucking lost.
I don't know. I feel like it is more of like a challenge from like the filmmaker's perspective. If you can like get across what the people are like communicating without being able to physically. And like, obviously, I took 4 years of French, so I like I understood a decent amount of it, but I didn't understand every word. And I don't know. It's just like kind of fun to just like not know what people are saying, but still understand what they're trying to say, you know?
Yeah, I get that. But I just wanted to know what they were saying. I mean,
no, that's fair. No, Elaine is the exact same way. She's like, if I don't know what they're saying, then like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But I literally, I tried watching, I forget which one it is. I think Rise of the Planet of the Apes. One of the new Planet of the Apes movies. They have confusing titles, so I don't know which one's which. I think it was whatever the second one is called. I tried watching that one time on not so official website. They didn't have subtitles on that either, and it was like fine for the first like hour of the movie, but then after the first hour and there's like not that many people, it's like just apes for like the next hour and a half. And I probably watched a good 40 minutes of these monkeys talking to each other before I was like, am I supposed to know what they're saying?
Oh my God, no chance. You're like, wait a minute.
I was just like vibing. I was like, yeah, I get it.
Dude, what if like subconsciously you knew exactly what they were saying, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that most of the time with movies, like people will be talking and I don't understand what they're saying, but like, I can tell what they're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me and I'm weird.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, but I mean, I still wish I would have fucking like, I wish the subtitles would have worked. It's interesting because there was a dubbed version of this movie in Comanche.
Yeah.
And then my thought is just like, well, why didn't they just film it in Comanche and dub it as English?
Yeah, I thought about watching the Comanche version, but then I realized that it was just a dub.
Yeah.
And I don't know, from all of the like promotional stuff, they almost made it seem as if they were going to like film it twice. But obviously that's like, that means they'd have to film every single scene twice, and that would be so much extra money. Like, I understand why they didn't do it that way, but they kept being like, oh yeah, there's going to be a Comanche version. But they're like, oh no, they just dubbed it. They didn't like make a separate version of the movie. But I think I would have liked it more if the entire movie was in Comanche.
I agree.
But I also fully respect that once they bought into the like Comanche is English thing, because they do a similar sort of thing in have you seen The Hunt for Red October?
No.
Okay. There's in that movie they're like speaking Russian for a while, and then it like transitions into them speaking English, so that the movie is like, oh, you're just like supposed to understand like they are still speaking Russian, but we're hearing it as English because it's a movie. And they do a similar sort of thing. There's another movie called Valkyrie. Have you seen that one?
No, but I don't know why that sounds familiar. Probably because of Valkyries.
No. Maybe. Valkyrie is about, there was like a failed plot to assassinate Hitler.
Oh shit, okay.
But in that movie, the movie starts with them speaking German, and then it like slowly transitions into English. So you're just like meant to understand that throughout the movie, they're technically speaking German still, but we're just hearing it as English.
Oh, I like that. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think they didn't really do that here. I mean, there was like the first two sentences of the movie are in Comanche. But there's also like, they speak like a phrase or two throughout the movie. Like every once in a while they'll be like, oh, or like the little girl, whenever she comes back to the village, is talking Comanche, and all of the commands that she gives to her dog are in Comanche.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like, they're sort of like Spanglishing it a little bit, where they're just like speaking both languages. But what I was getting to is I respect the fact that since we're understanding that the natives are speaking Comanche as English, then even when they go to the French people and there's that one guy who he's like, oh yeah, I know how to speak Comanche, and then he just starts speaking English.
Right. I mean, how do you like that?
Well, because it makes more sense than like if the Comanche people were speaking English and then he started speaking actual Comanche.
I mean, yeah, true again.
And it also is like helpful that they set it in an area where the Europeans in that area were French, because if they were English and then Comanche was also English, then it would be a little more difficult. But it's an easier divide when the foreigners are actually speaking a foreign language.
Yeah, yeah. All that to say that the movie would have been better in Comanche.
Probably. Yeah. But I think, I don't think it took away from it. I think that's like a...
No.
It could have been better, but I don't think it made it bad.
It's just annoying because, like, the French spoke French. Like, why didn't they just make them also speak English?
Because then everyone's speaking English.
Yeah, but what's the problem with that?
Because I feel like a part of the plot was them not understanding each other and like her having to have that one translator guy who like teaches her how to use the gun and then all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. That could have just been any random dude coming up to her cage when she was trapped.
I mean, that's true. I don't know.
Yeah, that's like one of the misses, I think, for me. Like, okay. Either do all the proper languages or don't bother like hiring another group of actors just to speak French.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I would say if another one of my negatives, since we're just on that subject, is I thought when going back to the fight scene down in the burnt out forest, there was a couple scenes where there was like 10 of the fur trappers shooting at the predator all at the same time. And yeah, he just has that tiny little arm shield. And I'm like, really? None of you guys hit him? Like every single bullet bounced off of that shield?
I mean, granted, those guns were unbelievably not accurate.
I mean, for sure. But like, it seemed like every single one of them was aiming at this tiny little circle.
The shield.
Yeah.
True. But I also did think like it was pretty sick that the alien dude had like a healing ointment.
Yeah, he had that weird little like needle. And yeah, they had like the, because it also was like cutting back and forth between, you see the predator healing himself, and then Naru is also like, she has the little like paste that she's rubbing into her wounds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a good, like, you know, he's healing himself in the way that he knows best, and then she was doing the same, and
yeah,
that was pretty dope.
I would also like to say her dog is an absolute baller. Like,
I loved her
dog. I don't know. Like, it was so, not only like the actual, like the actor dog, but just like the idea that a dog could be trained that well to be like, I need you to go around to the other side of this deer and chase it towards me. Or like, she's in a fight and didn't give the dog any commands, and it just like runs up with the axe like, hey, you need this?
Yeah. But I mean, granted, that's like a hunter dog. They are learned, taught to do that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that dogs can do shit like that, but it's just so impressive every time.
That's fair. That is true. Yeah.
I almost thought for a second that when there was the encounter with the bear, for a second I thought that the dog was gonna die when the bear starts climbing up the hill and then the dog like runs around to get the bear to chase the dog instead. They run off into the distance and I was like, oh shit, is the dog about to get killed by this bear? But then he comes back and it's okay.
Dude, I thought the whole movie long, like right when I saw the dog off the start, I was like, oh, they're gonna kill this fucking dog. I already know it.
You're like, this dog is gonna die at some point.
Yeah, that's where my mind was. And like, he never fucking died. And I was very surprised.
He never died.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, it was nice. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, me too. Good for the dog. But it would have made the movie way more spicy if he did pass.
I don't know. I feel like it almost would have been a little too cliche. I feel like, or because we're expecting the dog to die, if it did die, we'd just be like, okay, yeah. We knew that was going to happen.
Fair. Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. I was waiting for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much else. It was, I thought that the, it's really interesting. They kind of made the weapons on this predator like more primitive, like the little like wrist thing, like in the other Predator movies, like his bracelet is like literally a nuclear bomb. Like it's like, oh, I'm about to die. I'm going to press these buttons on my wrist so that I'm going to make sure that whoever killed me also dies.
Right.
Because predators are assholes. They're like, no, you don't get to kill me. You're also going to die.
You will die as well. You're right.
But in this one, it's not a giant bomb. There's just like those weird little, those three little disc things.
Which we don't exactly know what they do.
Yeah, they kind of just like, because you see him like in the background and they just like send out a weird wave. And then there's like some trees fall over. So I'd imagine it's like a pretty powerful blast.
But just weird because it's so, there's nothing that really comes of it. Like you just see like this red, like you said, the red blast that goes horizontally.
Yeah.
And then that's really it.
And then like with the normal predators, the like the little three laser thing, they usually have like a shoulder mounted plasma cannon.
Oh fuck,
and they'll
right.
just like and they'll just like blast people. But this one is like more like it doesn't quite have that level of technology yet, so instead it has this little like cross bolt kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bolts always land exactly where the lasers are.
Yeah, it was like a crossbow. Like he was using the weapons that the people there had against them.
Yeah,
very interesting.
I thought that it was really cool when not right at the end, but right when before Tabe dies, when he comes in on the horse, and because he knocks the helmet off and then it's like aiming against the tree. And then he tries three separate times to shoot, and you see the arrow like whiz around the forest and then go into the tree in the exact spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, of course, Naru, being the quick learner that she is, immediately uses that to her advantage. And that's how she ends up killing it at the end, is with its own weapon.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was interesting, but I also think like it's high tech enough to know to not shoot its own owner. I don't know. I mean, granted, it's not a living being, but...
Yeah. I did like they had the little like hide painting on the credits, although...
Wait, which one?
I'm not... During the credits, instead, like they had the little like painting, you know what I'm talking about?
No, painting, I'm trying to remember.
And it pretty much is just like retelling the entire story of the movie, but it's like as if someone painted it on leather.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing I will say, another thing that I was not a huge fan of, is at the end of that, you see there's like an extra little bit. Did you notice that?
No.
So it tells the entire story of the movie that we just watched. And then you even see at the end, like Naru goes back to the village and gets the staff. And then it shows, it like pans out and you see more of the like red storm clouds, and then three more alien ships come.
Wait, really? Oh, I did not notice that. No.
Yeah, you should go back and watch it. It is, like, interesting, but also I'm like, we didn't need that. Because I feel like that's, like, kind of one of those where they're, like, teasing, like, oh, we might make a sequel. I'm like, this movie doesn't need a sequel.
Yeah, this movie needs to stay where it is. It's good.
Yeah.
Damn. But overall, you know, I mean, strong movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is easily one of the best, if not the best. I'll have to go back and watch the first Predator, because that one's also really good. Yeah. But, yeah, I really like this one.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic. I had a great time watching it. Yeah, that's really it. Like, it was just good. It was just a solid movie.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some trivia then.
Let's do that.
Got a few facts here. This says in the film, Dakota Beavers, who plays Tabe, Tabe is obviously Naru's older brother, but Dakota Beavers is actually 3 years younger than Amber Midthunder, who plays Naru.
Oh, wow. Really? He looked older for sure.
Yeah.
Huh. Good for them.
Sari, who is Naru's dog, actually had no previous movie experience and was adopted specifically for this movie only 2 months before shooting.
No way.
The dog's real name is Coco, and she is a Carolina dog, which is a breed of wild dog that followed the first humans to cross the Bering Strait 16,000 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Dan Trachtenberg, the director, wanted to cast a dog that would be period accurate, and Carolina dogs are direct descendants of those dogs.
That is sick. How cool. I mean, quite honestly, though, like, I would never have noticed. That dog seemed so attached to that actress.
Yeah,
it was wild.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, 2 months is like no time to train a dog.
No time for an animal.
Wild.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
It says Dan Deliegro, that's how I want to pronounce that name, who plays the predator in this movie, is 6'9".
Holy fuck.
But it says here, Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator in the original film, was 7'2.5".
Oh, wow.
So this Predator was actually almost 6 inches shorter than the original.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
What? I'm 6'6". That is a tall fucking man.
Yeah.
To be playing that. Holy smokes. Wow.
That's all I got for trivia, just those three. But
those are good. No, that's perfect. Holy moly. Wow.
So now we will I think it's time for us to get wrecked.
Let's get wrecked then.
I did notice right after recording we forgot to get wrecked on our last episode.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
We did. Very unfortunate.
Damn.
But it's okay, because I'm sure we got some good wrecks for you guys this time.
I hope so.
I'll start, and I am going to recommend a YouTube channel, actually,
okay,
called Kurzgesagt, which is a educational YouTube channel, but it's like really entertaining. The person who narrates the videos on the channel has a very satisfying voice, and they have all of the videos are animated, and it's like a really nice, clean, like, style of animation.
Yeah.
And they go into some really good topics, and I don't know, I just think it's a really good channel. You should check it out.
What all do they cover on those channels?
Let me pull up, read a couple videos here. So their most recent video is about a species of ant that that raids other ant colonies and then takes its babies to raise as slaves.
Wow, that's something.
Yeah. And then the video before that is called The Most Extreme Explosion in the Universe.
Whoa.
They cover a pretty wide range of topics.
Sounds like it. Especially with ants that'll take you prisoner, enslave you.
Yeah. They've got over 19.5 million subscribers, so they're not like unknown. But if any of our audience has not heard of them, I would definitely recommend it.
All right. Well, that's good. I think then it is on to me. My suggestion for anyone that is either near one of their locations, or maybe if you've never even heard of them, I know they're on the come up. It is a place that is more of a exploratory museum, I would say, but it's not a museum, more of an experience, exploratory experience. And it is called Meow Wolf. Cayman, I think you've heard of Meow Wolf, correct?
Yeah, I think you may have recommended that before, actually.
Wait, really? Have I?
But I could be tripping, because we've talked about it several times before, so maybe I'm just remembering one of our conversations, but
oh,
I don't know. Go ahead.
And maybe. I don't know, actually, now that you say
audience,
that.
Let us know if Luca has recommended this before. Fuck. Let us know.
Okay, well,
go ahead, continue with your rec.
Yeah, so I mean, there are some opening now in Houston, Texas in 2024. There's one in Grapevine, Texas in the Grapevine Mills Mall. Yep. And then there's one in Santa Fe, one in Las Vegas, and then there's one also here in Denver.
And they all have different themes, correct?
Yeah. So they're all like different worlds that you step into, and there are actors and actresses that are inside of these exploratory and, you know, whatever you want to call it. And they really take part in selling the location that Meow Wolf is in.
What's the one that's close to you called?
The one close to me is called Convergence Station. And basically it's a cathartic tale of a converged world, or of converging worlds that come together. And you basically go around and you collect memories of people trying to piece everything back together to understand the transformational things and portals and all that stuff that happens so that nothing is missed.
I gotcha. The one that I am most familiar with is the one in, I believe it's in Las Vegas, which is called Omega Mart. And it's like a supermarket, but everything's like off.
Yeah.
And like as you go through, you like start to discover hints about different things, and then there's like different like secret areas that you can go into. But they have like at Omega Mart, they have products that are like definitely not like normal. Like I looked up a list here. They have something called nut-free salted peanuts. They have organic moth milk.
God, that sounds
great. And they have mammoth chunks.
Yeah, I've never been to that one, but that sounds like something I want to go to.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, if I've brought this up again, like, good for me because it's that good. but if I haven't, then that's a really good rec. Another good rec, you know, because we did it here, is if you have like those Lime scooters or whatever other scooters there are.
Yeah, just go on a scooter ride.
Go on a scooter ride with your friends. It is so fun. I've never done it before until you guys were here in Denver, and it was a blast. I had such a good time.
It was a blast. And such you like time. Showed us some cool buildings around the city. There was that skyscraper that was built right next to a church.
Right around a church. And, yeah. It had like a curved facade.
And we saw that cool, there was like a little alleyway and they had like a bunch of cute tables and they had a bunch of heaters, which is really nice because it was kind of chilly out that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's some cool areas. It's a good way to explore your city.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, on that note,
please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those are in the description. And Luca, why don't you tell them what kind of messages they can send us?
You guys can send us anything from recommendations of movies that you have in your head that you would like us to listen to. It does not matter. I had a listener ask me a day ago if it matters how many he/she could send in, and
any amount.
Any amount. It does not matter.
Give us a whole list if you want.
Yeah, a whole list, and we'll comb through it and see which ones would fit best. And then, you know, that's one of those things that you could send in. You can send in different ideas that you could, imagine us incorporating into the podcast. You can send us, quite honestly, anything. Like, if you have a good recommendation that you would like us to give the listeners, let us know and we'll put it out there for them.
Yes, sirree.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
All right. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.